Welcome back to another episode of Fantasy Football with Gumbo. My name is Ja.
Hey, you know it's Dugo over here. What's going on, folks?
We in the building, baby. First collab episode in a long time. How you feeling, Dugo?
Oh, dude, I'm higher than a bitch, actually. I won't lie. Higher than a bitch.
Hey, bro, should we get a sponsor with our new video provider, Riverside, over here?
Hey, bro, we might have to. We might have to real quick. This is sick.
Riverside came through clutch. Bro, we was trying to do something on another stream, and it didn't end up working out, but they came through clutch, so shout out to them. Yeah, man, we got a collab episode. Me and Dugo are back on an episode together virtually, so I apologize if we have any audio issues. But yeah, dude, it's been a minute, man. How you been?
Bro, been chilling. Living, been starting some of these rookies. Excited for this draft, bro. Green Bay, Wisconsin. I know one of us is going to be going for sure.
Hey, you think they'll give us passes if we say that we're Ja and Dugo from the Fantasy Football with Gumbo podcast?
They just might.
Who knows, yeah, bro? Yo, Brian Gutekunst might be tapped in.
Hey, bro, he might be for real. He might be one of the fathers. Shout out Brian Gutekunst out there. What's up, bro?
My guy. Yeah, man. Today I didn't really have an agenda. I just wanted to talk to you about some rookies.
There's been one guy that's been on my mind lately. I've been trying to pick your brain about a little bit. This guy, last year, he was on a completely different team. I'm super stoked about this guy, or at least I was last year. This year, I'm not really sure how I feel about him. So I'm talking about this cat, Riley Leonard, quarterback from Notre Dame University. What are your initial thoughts on this kid? Because when this guy was at Duke, I really got like Josh Allen vibes from this kid. And I think it was probably because he was a little bit more reckless last year compared to this last year when he was with Notre Dame. So when I was alluding to last year when he was a little reckless, I was alluding to his time with Duke. And then this past year when he was with Notre Dame, like I said, I thought he was a little bit less reckless. But I mean, he was still one of those dual threat cats. I don't know, man. Like, he can still run the ball. He runs a sneaky 4.5 40. Like, it's not bad, right? Like, he can do some shit, and he throws his body on the line. So I don't know. Like, if he can just pound up some muscle, because he's under 220 right now, but he's 6'4", so he has a solid frame to work with. So I don't know, man. Like, I feel like when we're looking at cats that might, like, surprise us this year, that might go in, like, the third or fourth round, that might be one of those franchise guys that just sneaks into a really good opportunity. I honestly think it might be this cat. I mean, like, when you look at what he's done, like, he doesn't have the strongest arm, and that's something I'm going to have to live with. But, I mean, there's other guys in this league that have been really good at just being mediocre. I mean, like, I'm not to say that Brock Purdy's like super mediocre. He makes great throws.
I thought Brock Purdy when I see his film, I see a little bit of Brock Purdy.
Like, he has some of that to him, but I think he might even be 13? More.
Is it because his jersey? Is it because his jersey number is 13 that you think of Brock Purdy?
It might be. It might be. But like, I wasn't even necessarily getting that from the cat. Like I was saying, bro. Like when I was initially watching him, I kind of got that Josh Allen feel. I just don't know. Like, I just don't know if he can be that, because I don't think he has as strong as an arm. But when I think of, like, a game manager or something like that, then I'm like, yeah, I could see him being something like a Brock Purdy-ish type thing. I could definitely
see that. What NFL team do you think would be the best fit for him?
Dog, that's where I keep coming back to. I don't know exactly, because I would think he'd be really good on the Dolphins. But at the same point, I also don't know if he has the arm strength to throw Tyreek open or throw Jalen Waddle open, you know? Like, if he's just, like, coming back for, like, comebacks and doing, like, a quick in or something where it's just timing, I think, like, that could work, right? But when it's something where he just doesn't have that arm strength as of right now, right? So,
I got another team down in Florida I think he'd be a great fit in.
Oh, shit.
You probably know where I'm going with it. But the Jaguars would be a really good, I think, fit for him.
I think it'd probably be a good fit because he gets to learn behind Trevor Lawrence. I think that's really cool. And obviously being able to be in a scheme with Cohen down there, where right. it's a little bit more run, I think, oriented. Go ahead.
Well, I guess what I was going to say is, when it comes to the Jaguars, they have so many weapons down there with ETN. I know they got rid of Evan Engram, but they still got Brian Thomas Jr., who's a superstar now.
They got rid of Christian Kirk.
A little bit of what worries me with Trevor Lawrence is, and this is kind of crazy to say out loud, but it's almost accuracy. Like, is he going to make the right read when you need him to make the right read?
Well, that's different than accuracy.
You're right. That's you're right. You're completely right about that. I worry about his decision making, and that's been a concern of mine for a couple of years now.
Right, but I mean, that's also kind of the same, you know, you'll get the same grip from, or the same rips from, you know, from Riley Leonard with the same thing. I mean, he takes a lot of sacks. He does. He tries to make the superhero throw, or he tries to do something kind of similar to what Jordan, or close to what Trevor Lawrence does. So, I mean, they have some similarness to them. But at the end of the day, I just don't know if they're necessarily the same quarterback. I think Trevor Lawrence has a lot of growth in this league to go with. I really do. So, I don't know. Like, when I'm talking about, like, possible, like, right now opportunities, that's why I think the Dolphins are kind of a play. Because I think Tua's on his last legs there. Not to say that Trevor Lawrence isn't as well. But his being the first overall pick is a little different. I mean, he already got paid big bucks, too, dog. You can't forget about that. And I know Daniel Jones, right? He did the same thing, and he also fucked up the bet as well. And then he got released that same year, actually. It's kind of crazy. But I just think that Sean Codd down there doesn't want to be wrong about him. And so I think he's going to give him more than opportunities. That's just where I'm at with that.
The reason I said Jacksonville for Riley Leonard is because I don't doubt that Trevor Lawrence is a good quarterback. Okay. I think this is a really important year for him and his career. Would you agree with me on that?
Yo, he has to. But there's a lot of quarterbacks I would say that have huge...
True. But at the top of the list, would you agree with me that Trevor Lawrence is top two, top three?
Yes, as far as needing a year, absolutely.
Has to get it done this year. Yeah. That's where I'm at with Riley Leonard. I don't expect this guy to come in and take over a team year one. I barely expect him to play, to be honest.
Sure.
But when I watch him play, he does remind me of Mac Jones with a little bit more agility. Right?
Holy shit.
Like, it's a little bit of Mac Jones, but he's able to run a little bit. Yeah. And Mac Jones He went as a first-round pick. So if the guy is not too far off of Mac Jones, you're talking about him maybe going top of the second round, middle of the second round. That's premium draft capital for any player.
No doubt.
Riley Leonard gets that opportunity, maybe he's a second-round, third-round pick for the Jaguars. He's a day-two pick for the Jaguars. Maybe early day three. Bro, Mac Jones was coming in last year, and he was pressuring Trevor Lawrence for his starting spot a little bit. I'm not saying Mac Jones is better than Trevor Lawrence.
Is that for real, bro? I don't know if that was for real.
I'm not saying Mac Jones is better than Trevor Lawrence, Dugo. I'm just saying he came in and there was some pressure.
Hey, bro.
There was some pressure.
Pause.
So if you get Mac Jones's protege, but Mac Jones's protege can run a little bit better.
Right.
I mean, anything's up for grabs. Don't get me wrong.
No doubt.
So,
yeah. I get that.
T-Law is better. Don't get me wrong. But Riley ain't a scrub and... You give him an opportunity with a first-year coach who has no commitment to Trevor Lawrence. Hey, if Leonard, who played for Notre Dame, star quarterback, if the guy comes in and he's a baller, I mean, hey, dog, we have no commitment at this point. Like, T-Law kind of does have to ball out this year.
You're not wrong.
He has to ball out this year if he wants to keep his job. It's not just given. Doug Peterson's out of there. The front office is out of there. Like, either you get it done, bro, or, like,
right.
If we suck again this year, I'm going to trade you for whatever I can get. That's how I see it.
You cut out after, if we suck again this year, I'm not sure if everyone else caught that or not. Would you go ahead and say that again quick?
My bad. Yeah, no, I was just saying, I think if Riley Leonard gets the opportunity to come out and play next year, I think he does.
Yeah.
I think he does. I think he performs really well within that opportunity. And with That's the fair, Jaguars bro. Front office, they don't really got, like, super deep ties with T-Law, even though T-Law's a good guy. Right. Like, he's been there for a while.
Yeah, they got...
Peterson's out of there, right? Like, the front office is out of there. Yeah, they got rid of the
front office. It's pretty much everything, yeah. Bulky's out of there, yeah.
And I hope...
Well, bro...
I hope Trevor Lawrence has a lot of success. But did you have any other players you wanted to talk about?
Dog, I mean... So, there's one guy in particular, or there's honestly a couple guys... Bro, there's a... Well, I want to talk about Cam right now, but I want to talk about a couple quarterbacks here before we get off the quarterbacks, if I'm going to be for real okay. with you. Gotcha. I'm trying to figure out the invitation list, though.
Who, I want to talk about Jalen Milroe.
Is coming to the draft.
I'd like to talk about Jalen Milroe if we got some opportunity here.
That's well. I want to talk about him for sure, but so there's 17 prospects, right? And typically the people that are going, typically are projected to be first round picks, right? Because they don't want to like be sitting there. Jalen Milroe is projected to be going. Do you think that he's going to be a first round pick? I mean,
yes.
You think so now? Damn.
Okay. Dude, I'm really high on Jalen Milroe.
I don't see why not.
I'm really high on Jalen Milroe. Yeah. I'm really high on him.
Okay. What NFL team do you think is really high on him where he's like, fuck it, yeah, I'll go. Because I just... Really?
The New York Giants or the Pittsburgh Steelers? Hear me out. The New York Giants ain't really the best team.
No.
They kind of just need talent and they need depth. And they have, they got the coach there, Brian. They got the front office there that's been getting killed ever since. Yeah, you got Brian Daboll, and you got the front office getting killed since last year. Dog, if I'm the Giants, man, like, I'm trading back. Anybody who's trading up to the third overall pick is giving me multiple firsts.
Right.
Presumably. So, I'm trading back in this current year's first round, and I'm taking Jalen Milroe at 12, 13, 14, quarterback of the future. I got Russell Wilson there, who's a mobile, strong-armed quarterback. Jalen Milroe is a mobile, strong-armed quarterback who needs a little bit of leadership. And then I'm getting an extra first-round pick next year, so that way when I play Jalen Milroe in the week 15, week 16, week 17 game and he goes crazy, I got two first-round draft picks to build around him. So now I can go ahead and add maybe the best wide receiver in 2026 alongside Malik Nabers. And maybe I can go get a left tackle. Jalen Milroe's a hit. That's the ideal situation if you're Brian Daboll. If you're that front office, you got to prove a point and keep your job better. In the second round, you can get somebody like Omarion Hampton, maybe Travion Henderson in the second round. And you can base your whole offense around a rookie running back.
Right.
Like, you could base your whole offense around Omarion Hampton if you take him with the third pick in the second round.
I mean, that's crazy if you're talking to Giants with Omarion Hampton as well. Just because they already have
Russell Tracy Wilson.
There. Well, they Russell got Tracy Wilson. There who went off last year. And I really like him, so I don't want to see him. Yeah, no doubt. But Omarion Hampton can be a workhorse. He can be a three-down
player. You can base your whole offense around him. And what's better is that Russell Wilson's a vet, so he's happy to hand the ball off. And he can still get the ball down deep to Malik Nabers, and ideally you draft a good receiver later in the draft. But if you get Omarion Hampton second round and Jalen Milroe first round and an extra first next year, and probably an extra third, fourth, or fifth round pick either this or next year, right? Because they're trading up to the pick overall, the number three pick. Dog, that's how you make your team.
Let's get off fit for a second. I want to know what you like about Jalen Milroe. Like, what traits? Obviously, he won the Heisman. Obviously, he's done a lot of great shit while he's been at Alabama. He's been a star quarterback since basically the day he's walked in there. I want to know, what traits do you like about him?
He's Jaden Daniels 2.0.
But the thing is about Jaden Daniels, Jaden Daniels was like a 5-year starter. He played like 50 or so games before coming in. Jalen Milroe, he's played 30, 40 games, sure. But obviously, Jaden Daniels had an extra like 2 years on the cap. And he had to learn a couple different programs as well. Jalen Milroe just learned a new program this year after Nick Saban leaving. So he does still have an experience of having to learn a new offensive coordinator scheme. I think maybe 3 times because, I mean, whoever was the offensive coordinator for Alabama typically left. Obviously, they keep the same pieces, but that coordinator, you obviously do things a little differently. So not to say that Jalen Milroe doesn't have that experience, you know, but I don't know.
Jalen played for a big program in Alabama. So, like, when I think of him in New York or really anywhere, like Pittsburgh even, he's not afraid of the bright lights. Last year wasn't the most eye-popping statistical year, but the guy ended 2024 with 16 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, 2,800 passing yards, and he had the 15th best quarterback rating in all of college. So there's some potential there. When I see him at the NFL level, I believe that he needs to develop his first year. I believe that he needs to take some advice. He needs to study film with someone who knows what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Dugo, when I really think about his best fit, I do believe it's New York, and I believe New York would be negligent to not trade back, take this guy at, Lord knows, 11, 12, 13, get a first-round pick next year, and then build the team around what you need. Like, this is a deep running back year. You can base a whole offense around a running back. Look at Philadelphia.
Right? I don't doubt that. You know, like, that's why I think Ashton's going to go heavy. I think Ashton's going to go early.
I don't think they're going to get Ashton, but even if he's available and it's Jalen Milroe or Ashton, I'm taking the quarterback because Jalen Milroe is going to be a star. Like, I'll stamp my name on that. That's my take this whole episode that y'all should remember if you care about me. But I think Jalen Milroe is going to be a star. And he's mobile. He has a strong arm. Great program he comes from. And he's going to be a first-round value for somebody.
That's fair. Well, I definitely agree with you. Like, I think he's going to be good, right? I just, with this descent this last year, I just feel like that kicks him out of the first round. I'm going to be completely honest with you because he obviously, like I said, right? I went through this. He went through a complete scheme change last year. And that's going to do a lot. That's going to do a lot to someone. Jalen Milroe had to go through a completely different scheme change. But a lot of people do that.
Jalen Milroe or Jackson Dart? Jalen Milroe or Jackson Dart?
That's tough. But, I mean, like, if I'm realistic, it depends on how my team is built. Like, if I'm going to be real with you. Like, if I have the ability like, a flexible... Okay, for fantasy? Jalen Milroe, all the way. He's going to have upside for rushing ability, for sure. I think Jackson Dart, I think he has a live arm for sure. Don't get me wrong. I think he has a live arm. He has some toughness to run. I mean, we've all seen the videos of him getting his helmet thrown off a couple times. But he needs to get a helmet that fits him. What the fuck? But I think he's good, right? Like, I think he's a good player. But fantasy wise, I definitely gotta go with Jalen Milroe on that for sure. Jalen Milroe.
I agree with you on that too.
But I was gonna try to ask you because just one last quarterback that's going to be showing up to the draft is Jackson Dart. Do you think that this guy's gonna go in the first as well? You think it's gonna be either like, if he falls to, let's call it. What if he ends up going like the Seahawks, bro?
He's going to be a slightly better version of Will Levis.
Oh, wow. That's not good. And I don't doubt
Will
that
Levis
either.
Will Levis is a early, mid, second round pick. I think Jackson Dart goes probably day two, top of day two. He's going to have some natural talent there. in the right system with the right coordinators and the right receivers, it'll work.
Right.
But if he ends up in a shithole team, the way Will Levis ended up with the Titans, yeah, it's not going to be great. So,
right. No, I totally get that. And I pray for Cam Ward every day that he's going to be going there. I hope they do it right for him, because that guy's too talented to just be going to a shit organization.
It is the position, too. Like, quarterback is so important.
It is.
I got Jalen Milroe as the better NFL and fantasy quarterback than Jaxson Dart.
Yeah.
But I think Jaxson Dart is not a bad quarterback. And okay. I think if he ends up in the right team, the right scheme, like, it'll work itself out. If he somehow ends up in Denver, I know Bo Nix had a good first year, but hey, if this guy ends up in Denver, Bo Nix gets hurt, he gets opportunity, he could be a dud, like, he could be a stud. But I don't think he's a scrub at all, and I think he has a bright future if he ends up on the right team.
That makes sense. All right. I want to fanboy about the Packers for a second. Is that all right?
Hey!
Bro, I've been seeing a lot of reports about the Packers might get a wide receiver in the first round, finally. And it might be allegedly one of the top picks of the draft. I keep seeing reports of Ted McMillan possible to the Packers.
No way. Mbuka, you think we're going to trade it for McMillan. Ted?
I keep seeing all this ish, bro.
In Green Bay?
That's exactly why I'm thinking it, bro. Brian Gutekunst, our boy, was the only GM that went to his pro day. And then,
dude, what if the Packers took a what if the Packers took a first round receiver?
Let me keep going.
Oh, shit.
All right. So not only did Brian Gutekunst the only GM that went to his pro day, but Ted McMillan was in Green Bay, Wisconsin today visiting the Packers. And he's just so happened to be the only other wide receiver that's going to be going to the draft outside of Travis Hunter.
I would put so much money on us winning the Super Bowl. I would go bankrupt, dude.
So I don't know exactly how I feel about this kid 100%, bro. Dude, I always feel like this guy is like a...
Dude, if we drafted Ted McMillan, I'd be in so much debt, dude. If I Ted McMillan on the Packers and I went to Potawatomi, dude.
I mean, dog, like, I feel like that's, like, the only way that you gotta do it if you're gonna have a draft in Green Bay. You gotta break all the traditions. You gotta just go in balls deep. And especially, dude, it's gonna be Ed Policy's first draft. It's gonna be Ed Policy's first draft as the president. He's gonna say, let's put the cap off this bit. Let's go do it.
Let's go do it. The first draft in Green Bay, you take your first round wide receiver in Lord knows how long.
Since 2003, I believe. So 22 years.
Imagine the 10th pick. The Green Bay Packers have traded up to pick number 10.
Doesn't that sound amazing?
And with the 10th pick, the Green Bay Packers have selected Tetaroa McMillan, wide receiver, Nevada.
Arizona.
Oh my god, the Packers have taken the first greatest receiver in the whole draft, in the first draft in Green Bay.
That's what I'm talking about, T-Mac. So, I like this kid a lot. He almost seems like pretty much just like a souped-up version of Christian Watson. That's kind of how he reminds me of. So, I think with Christian Watson probably going to be out the door this next year, I don't think it's a bad pick for us if that's someone that they want to keep in the system. My thing, though, is some type of shit. If they draft or if they trade up to 10, I bet they're going to be taking some bitch-ass like Will Campbell or some shit to tackle from LSU. They're just
gonna... Dude, we don't need no more offensive linemen.
Bro, I keep seeing that they want to keep stacking those guys up too. It's crazy.
Nah. If you after but, you bro, say
let's go back to Tet. Let's go back to Tet though.
Yeah.
So obviously, like, if he is gonna be like a Packer or something like that, let's talk fantasy expectations.
I would start putting money on us to win a Super Bowl because he's gonna be.
Let's talk fantasy expectations for him. Like, what kind of stat line do you think this guy would see? Like, what would you expect? If he went to
the Packers,
yeah.
1,000 yards first year, probably about 8 to 9 touchdowns.
Damn.
He'd be what Jordy Nelson was in 2014. He'd be what Devontae Adams was in 2019, 2020. He'd be the Packers' every game touchdown guy.
So you're saying that this guy's basically just going to come in and he's just going to steal the show?
The Packers wide receiver one for the last 15 years has always gotten double-digit touchdowns.
Hey, bro, that's kind of sicko. I think it would be cool, though. I mean, they would have to get those jerseys off the press as fast as possible because I would have to grab one for sure.
I think Tet would hold it down. He'd be if a guy gets drafted first round to be the Packers wide receiver one, you need to draft him as the best receiver off the board because the Packers are going to make him good for his entire career.
I get that.
He's not going to flop if he goes first round.
So what do you like about this guy? Obviously, like I said, like I think he's pretty much Christian Watson heavy. What do you think he's going to be?
I think he's going to be Drake London with more ball skills and better route running ability.
Holy shit. That's kind of sick. Drake London was actually sick this year, dog. I did not expect that to happen.
He had a good year. We hated on Drake London heavy when he came into the league, and
yeah, still we hate him. All those two. Nah, I still hate that motherfucker. USC motherfucker. I hate him. Fuck that bitch.
Fuck Drake London. Yeah, nah, I feel you. Nah, yeah, man. What if we got Emeka Ibuka? Emeka Ibuka.
I like him a lot, dog. I think that he'd be a great fit for the Packers.
I love Emeka Ibuka.
My biggest thing about him is if he were to come in, I think Romeo Doubs is getting traded that same draft, though.
To Seattle?
Some shit, bro.
Why do I feel like the Packers? Know. The Packers are going to trade Christian Watson or Romeo Doubs to Seattle. Somebody from Green Bay is going to end up in Seattle.
That's crazy. I could see it, though. Do you think it's because of the GM connection, or why do you think that exactly?
A little bit. Like, Green Bay and Seattle have always had a history.
Well, so their GM, right? He came from the Packers organization, John Snyder. He's actually from Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Is he?
Yeah.
Motherfucker.
So that's why I think, like, it's a good connection that way. Because if you're born a Packers fan, you've obviously looked across the bush and looked at Romeo Doubs has done for the Packers, what Christian Watson has done for the Packers. Shit, you might even be looking at Devontavian Wicks and saying, damn, he runs some crisp-ass routes. I kind of like him. He looks like Devontae Adams light. He could be good on my roster. I do get it. Like, I can see why you think the Packers and the Seahawks could link up like that, for sure. Like, for real, I do see that.
It's always made sense, too. It's always made sense. But, like, so, for example, the last 5 years, the top-end picks have been pretty good, especially our quarterback, right? So, 2020 was COVID, but the Bengals took Joe Burrow. 21 was T-Law. 24 was Caleb Williams.
Yup.
Right? Trevor Lawrence and Travion Walker were the first overall picks in 21 and 22. COVID didn't really help that. But I'd be interested in seeing how Brian Gutekunst makes his first round pick when everybody is in his hometown for the first time and maybe the only time ever.
Bro, so they still...
You can't get a flop pick, bro. You can't take a flop DB during that situation.
Bro, so they still do the draft at Lambeau Field, like, at their organization or whatever. They're going to egg the shit out of that place if they don't draft someone good.
Bro, you can't take a DB or an offensive lineman with the first round pick there.
Nah. All right, bro. Let's get off the Packers for a second. I want to talk about someone that we had talked about for a second. Omarion Hampton.
Okay.
What do you like? So I like, obviously he's built like a tank. He reminds me a lot of what Breece Hall did, honestly. Maybe even a little bit better if you ask me. He's a beast. He looks like he could be like the next sure thing. It's just a shame that he's coming out in the same draft as Ashton Jeanty and he's taking the spotlight from this cat. I think he's amazing.
If Jeanty wasn't in it, he'd be the number one pick in
fantasy. Yeah, no doubt. I mean, this kid's going to be a beast. I also think that it might, you know, like, be in his favor a little bit because if he ends up somewhere where they already have, like, an established offensive line or something like that, that's going to be better for his stock. I mean, obviously, he might fight against some competition depending on the team, but he could have an open door. I mean, if he falls somewhere where, like, the Broncos in the first round, I definitely could see him going in the first. It wouldn't be beside me.
He's going to be a monster. He's going to end up going somewhere probably into the first round, top of the second.
Yeah.
Middle to late 20s.
Yeah. Broncos are at 20. The Broncos are at 20, and I honestly could see that.
If I'm them, I would do it. I would do it.
I mean,
he looks like Jonte Williams, but healthier and a little bit, like, you know, like a little bit more fluid. So, you know, he looks a little bit like Javante. Maybe it's because he played at North Carolina.
I was going to say, you think they're going to take a risk with that again?
They know each other. But, yeah, no, Marion Hampton clearly looks like the second best running back. The guy who I was really interested in talking to you about, and, I mean, I guess, did you have any extra thoughts on Marion Hampton?
I mean, I just think he's going to be a stud, and, I mean, regardless of where he goes, I don't know, man, like, what do you think? Like, he might flop like a fucking, I don't think he's going to flop like a Najee, because I think he's a lot more athletic than a Najee Harris.
No, he's way better than Najee. He's way better than Najee.
Yeah, like, that's, like, my only thing is, like, what if he does flop? But I don't think that's going to happen. I mean,
I don't think,
like I said, I think he's going to be a really good scheme fit wherever he goes. And, like I said, I think he has the ability to be a three-down back.
In a worst-case scenario, he's a rusher who gets 4 to 5 yards per carry and maybe doesn't score the most touchdowns. So, like, Josh Jacobs is, like, his limited cap upside.
That's kind of sick. I like Josh Jacobs a lot. So, yeah, if he could be something like
Josh
him, that'd
Jacobs,
be great.
Like, he's a strong rusher. But he's not going to be like Kamara or McCaffrey or any of these guys who catches 60 passes a year. Dugo, that brings me to another guy who I'm really excited to hear your thoughts about.
Okay.
I've had adverse thoughts about him, but Travion Henderson, running back for Ohio State. I really want to hear your raw, true thoughts about what his upside is and if you think he'll be better than Breece Hall in the NFL.
No, I don't think he's going to be better than Breece Hall in the NFL. I think that's... I don't know. I think Breece Hall has a lot more size and a lot more ability than this cat, unfortunately. And I even think that Breece Hall at his 6'1", 220 frame, I just don't think... I like I said, I think he has more burst and more speed than this guy at 5'10", 208.
Right.
Do I like the guy? Yeah, absolutely. But
how much
I think
do you like him in this year's class? Do you have him as your RB3 after Hampton and Jeanty?
No.
Who's your RB3?
You're not going to like it.
I want to hear it.
Cam Scadaboo is my number three.
Okay.
Cameron Scadaboo.
Running back for the Vikings or for Minnesota?
Cam Scadaboo, if he goes to the Vikings, I'd be so pissed. It'd be
you
a
think he's better than
Travion? Him and Dylan Sampson.
He's better than Travion?
Why do I think Cam Scadaboo is?
As your RB3 over Travion, why do you think he's better than Travion Henderson?
Well, I think he has a lot more dog to him, realistically. I don't know, dog. Like, if you saw what Cam Scadaboo alone did in that playoff game against Texas, I think that he left nothing aside to show the world what him alone can do. And so what he did was he willed his team to damn near beating the number three team in the country. I mean, I don't know, man. Like, obviously he had other players on his team doing a lot for him. There was a lineman that I saw block two people in the same play for his ass, and it was sicko. Or at least I believe it was Cam Scad. I'm not sure if that was the same video or if I'm thinking of someone else. But he has some dogs on his team that helped him get to that point. But if you look at him and Ash and Genty when it came to like the same setups for their team where they just leaned on one another, that was it. Like, he gives me damn near just a Hoyt Ash and Genty type vibes without the burst.
Let me ask you about another guy.
Okay.
And this guy's not a running back.
Hold on. Before we even get off of Travion Henderson, I don't know if he's even my favorite Ohio State running back coming out of this draft. I think Judkins is better, if I'm going to be keeping it a buck. I think Judkins has the ability to be Alvin Kamara light. I don't know, bro. He has a lot to him. I think that he is one of those cats that is going to be one of the next great receiving running backs coming out. Yeah. That's where I think Judkins is at right now. I really liked him when he was coming out of Ole Miss, and I really wish he would have came out last year, but he stayed another year. He stayed another year, probably got paid a lot of money to do so, got to win a national championship. But he's still my favorite over Henderson when it comes out of Ohio State.
Who's your top five running backs in the rookie class?
All right, so Genty, Hampton. Like I said, it's kind of a toss-up between Scadaboo and Sampson. I really like both of those guys a lot. Sampson, I think, is going to be really good. That guy's going to be special. But then, like I said, I think Judkins is going to be really good when it comes to receiving. But obviously, I think Caleb Johnson is going to be really good when it comes to just the natural born running back.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel, too.
But, I mean, it's pretty much a standard.
Caleb Johnson is going to be a fucking scoop. I think Caleb Johnson's going to end up being a top three, top four running back from this class easy.
So, what's your top five? I feel like you're one of those type of motherfuckers that have Devin Neal up in their top five for no reason.
Fuck you, dude. You're a piece of shit. You're a piece of shit.
You're like, fuck you. He was number five.
Fuck you, bitch. He might have been six. Asshole. No, my top five is probably Genty 1.
It's the same as mine. I bet it's the same as mine.
It's Genty 1, Hampton 2, Caleb Johnson 3.
Holy shit.
Travion Henderson 4, and Dylan Sampson 5.
Damn. So no Scatties, huh?
No, I got Scatty a little bit later in my overall running back draft class.
Damn.
But I got Genty and Hampton where they should be. I got Caleb Johnson 3 because I think he's going to be durable. And I think he's going to end up getting... He's not going to be as effective round 1. He's going to have a year or two where he's getting adjusted, which is going to save his legs. So he'll peak a little bit later than most. Travion's going to be this year's Kamara, Jahmyr Gibbs.
You think explosive. So?
Yeah, 100%. He's the most explosive back in the draft class.
I think Judkins is more explosive than him.
I think
Judkins is more explosive than Henderson.
No way, dude. Stop.
I don't know, man.
Stop, bro. You know it's not. You know
that's just the way I see it. Yeah, that's just the way I see it.
Justin's ran, bro, stop. Stop. Now, if Henderson is healthy and he plays, yeah, no, he's top four. I think Dylan Sampson is going to end up being like Devon Achane 2.0 a little bit. He's going to end up in a good offense if it all works out well. Dylan Sampson, yeah.
That'd be cool. I would like seeing him as Devon Achane. That'd be cool. I mean, he kind of gives me the same feel. I don't know. Did he ever
like Sampson a 40?
I'm not sure if I ever saw his 40 time.
I don't need to see a 40. I saw his tape.
No, like, don't get me wrong. I think the guy is fast as fuck. But, so he ran a 4.42.
Yeah.
I mean, like, he's not as fast as what Achane was when it came to the track, obviously. By just those numbers, he's more than a tenth off. But I do think that he has, like, the same deal.
So his projected draft position is about the 2.5, 2.6, and one quarterback leads. So he's going to the middle of the second round.
So I'm looking at the PFF draft simulator for Dylan Sampson. They have him at least most drafted by the Patriots, Bears, and Browns.
In what round?
Well, his average right now... He's getting average draft 66, so at the end of the second.
End of the second, okay. Early or, third, I guess, maybe.
Top of the third, yeah. I mean, that's average.
Yeah, if he went. I think that tracks. And he could be really good in whatever. He could be really good.
He went earlier than that, and he went to, like, the Commanders.
Yeah, he's going to be a star wherever he ends up.
Dog, if he went to the Commanders, that would be sicko.
With Brian Robinson?
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think he's going to be pretty good wherever he ends up, though.
Nah, I agree. Right. I think he's going to be really good.
So we'll see if he goes in the first. I mean, I got the guy going in the middle of the second.
Right.
I think that's about his value. He'll go a little bit after Trey Harris. We'll see where Trey Harris gets drafted.
Oh.
I think Trey Harris could be pretty good. We could talk about whoever you'd like to talk about, but these are a couple of guys who I've looked at, and I'm like, hey, they draft value, and rookie drafts might be a little cheaper than what they're actually worth.
I Trey Harris. Like, dude, I think he could be one of those next... I mean, Ole Miss has been one of those cats that have been sending out wide receivers lately. I think he probably could be that cat. I mean, he made Jackson Dart look really good. He only played 8 games this past year, but he still ended up putting over 1,000 yards. He had 7 tutties as well. The guy looks like he has all the abilities. He has the stats for it. He's 6'3", 210, so he has the size for it.
What do you think of Travis Hunter? Your genuine thoughts about Travis Hunter.
I think he'd be better as a DB than a wide receiver.
So that's the reason I asked you this question, because we're talking about fantasy football, dynasty drafts, rookie drafts. This is going to be the most popular question we get asked. A few people have already asked us what are our thoughts about Travis Hunter. They asked me, because, you know, I'm the wide receiver guy.
Oh, what?
I'm kidding. I'm fucking with you. But my thoughts on Travis Hunter is that I think he's going to be a bottom end wide receiver 2 at his peak. End wide receiver 2. He'll be a top 24 fantasy wide receiver most years. And I think if you can get this guy at the end of your first round, beginning of your second round, I have the 2-1 in a 10-team one quarterback league.
Yeah.
At the 2-1, I think he might fall there. I'm happy to take him there. He's not going to be Justin Jefferson, No. Who also fell to the second round. Justin right. Jefferson was 2-1 in a lot of 2020 drives. But I think he's not too far off of that. He's going to be a top 15, top 20 receiver most years. And I'm happy taking this guy as a 2-1. Dugo, would you take him any earlier than 2-1 in a 10-team, one quarterback league?
It'd be tough depending on what actually happens. Like, I would have to see his splits during, like, those training camps or whatever. I feel really bad for the guys that have to draft these guys before the draft or even, like, before they get at the training camp. Like, that's, especially for this cat, it's just tough. But let alone, like, just trying to feel out, position, like, where they fall and whatnot, doing that type of stuff. I just don't like that idea. Yeah. Nonetheless, just to get back on how I feel about this cat, I'm kind of in the same boat as you. I think he might even be lesser than that, realistically, just based off of a snap count. Like, if he is playing DB as well, like, I just don't know, like, at the NFL level, if they're going to want this guy playing all 80 or so snaps or whatever the hell it might be, right? So it's just one of those things to where he might be more fantasy adjacent, because if he is in those red zone situations and he's just a ball hawk and keeps getting touchdowns or whatever, like, that might be sicko, right? Like, if he's able to just hit.
Going to be?
What's up?
You know who he's going to be in the NFL?
What's that? Hit me with it.
He's going to be the Shohei Ohtani of the NFL.
I mean, if your fantasy leagues are counting touchdowns and shit like that, that'd be sicko.
He's going to get a couple he's going to get a couple pick sixes in a few games.
If your leagues are doing that, that'd be sicko. I don't know, though, man. It's going to be tough. Like, I think he's going to be good. I think he's going to be good at whatever position he's at. I just think if they're going to be doing this guy as a dual threat, though, well, depending on where it's going to be, I think it's going to be hurting his fantasy value.
If you play in a Travis Hunter league, you're going to be incentivized to take the defense of whatever team he's playing for.
Facts.
So, like, Cleveland would be great, because I'd feel comfortable taking the Cleveland Browns defense in most games.
Yeah.
But if I'm taking Travis Hunter, who's going to play DB, I want the Cleveland Browns defense and I want Travis Hunter in my flex. And if I get a defensive touchdown, if I get a pick, if I get a kickoff return, I benefit from that. So Travis Hunter is going to be a complex character. I think he's going to be a guy whose defensive team you want on your roster if you take him.
Yeah.
I do believe he's going to be the Shohei Ohtani of the NFL. And having a MVP player on your fantasy team has never hurt nobody. It's never hurt nobody,
obviously. But that's talking from, like, an NFL team standpoint. It's never hurt nobody. I don't know, man. Like, when it comes to fantasy value, like I said, it's a little tough for me to judge this cat just because, like I said, if he's playing DB, I want this guy at all the wide receiver snaps. I want this guy to be out there getting all the targets. I want him to get all the catches. I don't want this guy just playing 70% because this guy is tired because he's chasing around DK Metcalf as well. Like, what the fuck?
Travis Hunter or Matthew Golden?
Are we talking fantasy football values?
Fantasy football.
Golden. I like Matthew Golden.
He's a stud.
I think Matthew Golden's going to be really good, man. I don't think he's going to be able to follow the Packers.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to be able to follow the Packers, but I think this cat's going to be super good.
Dude, if the Packers drafted Matthew Golden first round, how would you feel?
I think it'd be a golden pick.
Fucking hate you, dude. Fucking hate you, dude. I know shit like that to me, dude.
Who are you comparing to this cat? Like, what would you put, like, his closest comparison to? Because I look at him at 6 foot, 195. He's super fast.
He's like,
that's almost Devontae Smith type.
Nah, he's better than Devontae Smith. Devontae
Smith won the Heisman, bro. What are you talking about?
Who is he? He's like a better version of Jordan Addison.
I was going to say his body size and the way he moves kind of reminds me of Jordan Addison, but yeah. I like you saying
Addison's a perennial wide receiver too, and so is Devontae Smith. So I'm never going to say Devontae Smith because I think Matthew Golden is better than Jordan Addison. But he's like Jordan Addison if Jordan Addison was a top 10 wide receiver.
Okay.
Right? Like, he's the type of guy that's going to get open on a lot of routes. He's going to make magnificent catches. Right. He's going to build the trust of his quarterback really early, really quickly. And depending on where he lands, ideally he goes at the end of the first, so he goes to a good team.
Hey.
Like, if he ends up on Dallas, if he ends up in Green Bay, if he ends up in...
Chargers. If he ends up in Dallas, that's going to be crazy. CeeDee Lamb is going to get so much fucking carry.
I think Matthew Golden's a top five quarter or receiver, no doubt. Him and Ibuka are the guys who are battling it out for me right now in terms of like wide receiver three. I think McMillan's going to be great. And I think there's going to be another guy who's going to come out crazy and have a really good few years.
Right.
I got Matthew Golden and Emeka Ibuka as the wide receivers kind of duking it out.
There's been a cat that's been just flying up the list lately. I'm not sure if you've looked into this guy at all much, but Kyle Williams from Washington State. I don't know, man. Like, I haven't really watched much on this cat either, don't get me wrong, and so I don't blame you. But when I look at this guy's stat line alone, though, like, it's pretty impressive, at least this last year. Mind you, this guy is 22 years old right now, so he's playing this last year as already a pretty old cat. Size 6 foot, 186, so definitely a little scrawnier, kind of more Jordan Addison type size. But over 13 games, the guy had 70 receptions for 1,196 yards and 14 touchdowns. So the guy scored touchdowns galore this last year, which is something that, I mean, when I'm looking at, you know, something the Packers need, not to get back on the Packers bandwagon. But if this guy can score touchdowns in a large majority of the time, I wouldn't mind seeing that. I guess, obviously you don't know much about this cat. I'm just throwing some stuff at you. But I guess, based off of what information I've given you right now, as far as a good stat line, obviously his size, a little bit scrawnier. The Packers need more of a wide receiver one, if you ask me. Ran a 4.4. Do you think that this guy has the possibility of being, like, a good starter, or...
Matthew Golden?
I don't know. I hate to put you on the spot like that, just not having any information on the cat. Kyle Williams,
he's like Jamari Thrash. Looks like he's got
a chance around like, a little bit. There's one comparison. Oh.
Kyle Williams, like, he's a cool receiver. He reminds me of, like, Jamari Thrash levels a little bit. Jamari ended up on the Browns last year. I could see Kyle Williams maybe ending up on, like, the Texans, right? He's a great outside receiver with some ability to go ahead and
tell me that's saved.